Hey, welcome to Expect the Expected with Joey and Harp.
Two small town girls from New Mexico living in Nashville and talking all things personal growth, spirituality, fucking shit up, and figuring it all out, or at least trying to.
Today's episode is brought to you from East Nashville, where we are smoking on Oreos from Considerate Flowers.
Each episode, we'll be trying out different strains of legal grade cannabis from smoke shops around the city. We're here to have a good time and talk about some shit. Thanks for being a part of the journey. Let's get into it. Bum, 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 bum. Dating part three.
The days.
We're here. Yeah. We could do like nine. If you really, truly were going to have a series about dating, it would be like 100 episodes long.
This is episode 1,753.
About relationships.
Today, we're talking
Let's talk about it.
Exactly.
I don't know. Well, last time we talked about kind of what it looks like in our younger years and our first relationships. And
that puppy love, baby.
That puppy love.
Woo.
But then you graduate college. And then that's a whole different...
And it life just slaps you right in the fucking face.
So here's real relationships, bitch.
Real life.
We love it. It's so fun.
It's great.
Who decided to do this to us?
Exactly. Like, some parts of it are fun, but some parts of it are fucking shit.
Rough, man.
Rough, dude.
I don't know. That's the thing about dating in your 20s. And after college is such a weird time, too, because you're like, where do we go from here? You go and find your career, and you're probably looking to, like, date, and you're feeling all sorts of different types of things. So you can get, like, those highs, and that's why people get into toxic relationships, because you're just riding that high train, and then...
It is really a high.
It's hard to get off.
It's addictive, because you're just... In toxic relationships, you're just feeling all the emotions all the time at extremes.
Yeah.
Super high highs, super low lows. Super high highs, super low lows. And it's exhausting.
And sometimes that's the route that you choose. I know we've talked about it before, but it's really like you can kind of choose the highs and the lows in that kind of relationship, or you can kind of choose a more stable, safe path. But those highs are hard to fight.
The highs are hard
to.
What'd you say?
Fight.
Fight. Yes. It's true, though.
It's true.
There's this song that's out right now. Fuck, I don't remember what it's called, but it literally says that these are the moments that I didn't realize I would be chasing all my life. And it's so fucking true, because it's not sustainable to have those high highs all the time, but I do chase after them. I love feeling that high. Like, in that way.
But you can do it in different ways, too.
Yeah.
Like, driving with the windows down and the new views. Yeah. Like, not knowing where I'm going. That gives me some sort of, like, that, you know?
Yeah. That's the same way with me for concerts. I love them so much. Yeah. And every time I'm like, this is it. Or a music festival. Like, let's talk about just when last year, Bonnaroo, if you went, hell yeah. But just even seeing Stevie Nicks at Bonnaroo, I just never thought I'd get to see her, you know? And it was outside. The weather's perfect. Barefoot. Fucking dream. A little stoned.
Little dream.
A lot of stoned. Maybe. It was great. And so, yeah, I mean, there's other high highs to be lived.
But the human connection is so strong. And you will, like, ride that train for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, and I think about it now, and you've heard this story a million times, but it's just really funny. The, like, 21-year-old I was whenever I first came out to Nashville, and the two, I see it very, visually now, like, two roads I could have taken as far as relationships at that point, and I chose, like, the toxic one that got me high instead yeah. of, I met this like super hot guy who was chasing me around Nashville and
was hot.
So hot. So hot. He had a Corvette. He had a dog. He had a house in Brentwood. He had a good job and he was cool, but something there just wasn't that like pizzazz, you know, yeah. there wasn't like, he was
which
hot.
Is crazy. Which is,
he was so hot, dude. I don't even know what the fuck.
It's the one it's hard because you can't wish it there. It's either there or it's not.
No.
And just in reality.
And you know what it is too about my little Aries situation? Is if you don't want me in the slightest, I'm like, I bet I could change that. And I'm going to try.
I'm going to try.
And I don't know.
We all love a damn chase.
Dude, I just...
We're annoying. God. Species is annoying.
I know. And my mom is such a coy, like, let them do whatever, like, let them chase you. And I'm more of an upfront, like, I'm going to get what I want kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really hard for me to, like, be reserved when it comes to relationships. Except for this, like, last time around. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Potato, potato.
Potato, potato.
Your first relationship outside of, well, you, like, left.
Yeah. So, yeah. When I finished college, I know I've talked about it a couple times here, but I had some, like, really significant things happen towards the end of college. You know, my sister passed away unexpectedly. So that made me, you know, just lose my mind a little bit. I didn't know what I wanted anymore. I didn't know. I was like, life is short. You know, I just need to do, like, very much living in the moment because I was so goal-oriented before.
Yeah, dude.
I was very much, you know, this is the path I'm on. This is what I'm doing. And I still definitely lived in the moment a lot, but at that point, it was just, I started to become, like, kind of reckless. But anyways, so I guess in all of that, in a way of trying to heal, I was like, I had a friend, her and I road tripped all around the West Coast that summer. And she was like, you should really go to this Bible college. And so I feel like a lot of people are telling me to go and I should do it. But I was already 23. And so, you know, I felt like because all these other people were telling me to go that I should go. And so I went. we'll get into that more at a later date, but disaster.
But didn't work
when
out.
When I was there, Bible college, fucking weird. You know, it was like I had already gone to grad school, like, or undergrad. I had done all that. And so I say post-college because this wasn't like my actual college experience. This was just like, you know, a part, like a very small part of my life, but it was so significant because when you're at Bible college, in case you don't know,
those of you who don't know Bible school,
you have to sign your life away.
Actually, literally with ink on a pen and paper.
Literally. And you have to say, I won't smoke. I won't drink. I won't have sex. I broke all those rules while I was in there. So I met this guy and I really liked him, and I think because I was going through, like, a hard time, and he was going through a really hard time, we kind of just, like, trauma bonded, honestly. But so here's the thing. He was in, like, he had gone to rehab, and he was, like, in sober living. He had been, like, clean for a while and stuff, and so I thought, you know, we just, like, connected, so I was, like, okay, like, you know, whatever. That's fine. And so, and you know, we and him, like, I felt so drawn to him. And I think that was the thing. It was my first relationship outside of, you know, just being a kid. Like, I'm an adult at this point. And so I'm like choosing to be in this. And I knew 2 weeks, for 2 weeks that he had relapsed without him even telling me. I just knew. And so, you know, he comes to me one day, we're at a park. He was like, I gotta tell you something. And I'd already known. I just knew. And I was like, I already know, dude. And he was like, how? And so I just told him, you know, I know what that looks like. I had a feeling, you know, I'm an intuitive bitch anyways. And so
right.
I just really felt that. And it was really hard to, because I still really cared about him. And that's the thing is he's not, at least I don't think he is, but back then he wasn't a bad guy. He was just a broken guy. Mm-hmm. And I was broken. And what I feel like a part of growing up and being in an adult relationship was I got to the point, you know, where I had to make a decision. And it was like, do I keep going down this path with him? And I have no idea, but I came out here to work on my own shit and I'm falling apart even more being out here.
And you can't carry people while you're also drowning.
And you can't, like, save everybody. No. They have, you know, people have to save themselves. And that is something, when you're just young, you think love is just going to fix it all. Love is just the answer to everything. It's going to fix everything. And I really cared about him and I did love him. Was I in love with him? It's kind of a different story, but I did love him and I cared about him. But it's still, that's not enough. That's not enough just to, like, care about somebody. You know, I can't fix you. You have to do that on your own. And so I felt like it was the first time that I really made that adult decision to walk away.
It's a hard thing to do, dude.
Yeah, it was really hard. And I left California and I was like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of this Bible college. I gotta get out of here.
I feel like you do what I do. You just totally, you bounce. Do it more so because you're way better at it than me. But yeah, when I just get to my point, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out. I fled New Mexico. I fled Oklahoma back to New Mexico. Fled New Mexico again to go to Nashville. I don't fucking know. Who's to say? It's just, I don't know. Sometimes you just gotta bounce.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
I know, dude. I was proud of myself. It was really hard, but it just, I knew I couldn't just stay there and I couldn't stay in that relationship. And honestly, I hope he's doing well. I hope he got his shit figured out. We talked a little bit after I left, but you know, buddy, if you're out there alive and well, I hope you're doing well. Like, you know, honestly. And that's the thing is, you know, not as an adult too, I think that sometimes obviously you go through like really hard breakups and you're like, fuck this person. But I think also a part of, you know, getting out of dating when you're just like young and like growing up is kind of understanding that you don't have to fucking hate this person. You don't have to have, you know, it doesn't have to be this big blow up at the end. It can just be a decision that's, this isn't right for whatever reason it is. Like, this isn't right and we have to just leave it. And it doesn't have to be because someone cheated or because, you know, like any of that bullshit. It could just simply be, this just isn't working.
This isn't the life that I want to choose.
Yeah. And I got to choose myself.
That's respectable as fuck.
Hell yeah.
Love that for you. It's taken me a really long time to kind of grasp that concept. I've been so bad at letting things go in the past is my thing. You know, I just have hung on. Letting go can be hard sometimes.
Yeah.
And walking away from things can be hard sometimes. Especially when you've invested time and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's just a crazy... It's dating is just hard. And you have to make certain decisions and just
going. Out here navigating, dude.
Yeah.
I know. And pick and choose what you can fuck with and what you can't fuck with.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's like, so my first, I had that relationship with Chad in.
Chele.
In, poor Chad. He's just always going to be like.
And then there was Chad.
And then there was Chad. So I came out here and I was dating Chad. We broke up, thank the good Lord. But I had a couple months, I had what, like 6 months or something like that before I got into what I would consider my first adult relationship, which also just kind of happened. But we dated for like 2 years or something like that. So we dated through the pandemic. And I learned a lot in that relationship. I was super young still. I feel like 23. I guess I was 23 when I had my first, like, adult relationship, too.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of crazy even how your guys' relationship started out because you were in a little bit of a predicament.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I'm really bad. Okay. Okay. So I saw you and you were just going on dates with different boys and living your best life and having so much fun. And I've always been stuck in these relationships that I didn't want to be in. So I was like, I'm gonna date. I'm 23. I'm so cute. I'm just going to date around. Dated my neighbor. Dated my coworker.
The queen of shitting where she eats. The queen. I should make you a shirt.
Please don't. Please don't. Because it's so true that it hurts.
Oh my gosh.
I literally...
If you want to hear about stories about shitting where you eat, ask Carp.
Yeah, I got you. I don't recommend it. 10 out of 10, don't recommend. I always have to learn my lessons the hard way. I'm saving you. Don't shit where you eat. It's a bad, bad deal. So I met this dude on Tinder. He ended up being my next door neighbor.
Next door neighbor. Literally. I was like, there's no fucking way. He
would never come out of his house, though. So, like, we met on Tinder. I never saw him before. We lived there for, like, 6 months or so.
Oh, I live here, too. And we're like, what?
Like, where? Right next door.
Where? Up on the hill. We live on the hill. What apartment? Whatever his apartment number was. And we're like, no fucking way. You want to come pick me up from my door?
I was like, this is convenient as hell. And then somehow I started dating also my coworker, who was a lot of fun. And then I was dating both of them. And then I had a hard time dating both of them because it's hard for me because I catch feels and then I catch feels for two people. I would be a bad bachelorette. And you put me on The Bachelor and be like, I love you all. I don't know. You're great. I'm just going to, yeah, it's bad. I can't make those types of decisions. So I went with a rational decision to date my neighbor.
My neighbor or my coworker? Which one are we going to try first?
The neighbor. It made sense. He was in med school. He was my age. He had a nice car.
He lived next door.
I don't know. The trajectory was like, all right. And we like vibed enough. And also other benefits. And I was like, this is okay. And then he was just another dud. Sorry. And I'm not saying he's a dud, like, in life. But, like,
he's a doctor.
He's a doctor now. He's doing fine. But for me...
That spark wasn't there.
It just wasn't there. I mean, it was there in other ways. But it wasn't there. Emotionally. Or, like, spiritually. Or, like... Same kind of lifestyle. There's really just one thing keeping me on. Hanging on.
We all know what it was.
And we all know what it was.
What it always is.
But that lasted for like a month, right?
And like then, 2, 3.
Oh, well, I guess. Okay, so like 3 months. Potato.
But then he sucked.
And I broke up with him. And it felt real nice. He was like, but I love you. And I was like, the fuck you do? You don't know.
You've been dating 2 months. Calm down.
He was like, it was going to keep me hanging on. But I love you. No. So then maybe like 2 weeks later, I had a real mourning process. So maybe like 2 weeks later, I start flirting with my coworker again. And for the record, per the policy of the company... You're not allowed to date your coworkers. So we...
But she's rebellious.
But I don't play by the rules of the man. So...
Fuck the man.
I secretly dated my coworker for 2 years and we lived together for like a year of that.
You guys will just pretend that we're kind of...
And nobody...
Hi, how are you?
They're just really good friends. They go to games together and drink together all the time and like whatever. Like, yeah, totally. Really good friends. But I kind of fell into that relationship. I don't know. We really enjoyed hanging out with each other. And then we ended up dating. And then COVID hit and we moved in together. You and me and your husband. Boyfriend at the time. And then fiance and now husband. And that's a whole fucking thing. Husband. And. Sorry, Luke. But I learned a lot in that relationship. And he was older than me. which was nice because I hate dating guys my age. I just have never, like, vibed that well. Chad, Jake, didn't work out for me. You know what I mean? So then I dated this older guy, and he was cool, and he knew some shit, and he was well-traveled, and he was from another country, and he, I don't know, he was great. He's a great person. I love him. But I don't know. Sometimes I just, it was the same thing at the end. Like, it was so healthy, and I learned so much, but I just didn't see my trajectory anymore. Yeah. And I just, like, I was coming out of COVID. We were coming out of COVID. It was 2021. I quit my career job. I started bartending, and I, like, just went on another little path. That wasn't that great, honestly, but I
felt... you would, like, took a left turn and went off-road.
Dude, I went, like, fucking... Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
You're like, I just went another path. Like, I no, just... but you swerved.
Couldn't even see so much dust. You didn't even fucking know where you were at. It's because I was in this, like, very healthy relationship, but something I felt like was missing. And I don't know. Yeah, I was living my best life in this relationship. Like, we were being healthy. We always were outside. We were active. We were doing all sorts of stuff. But, like, something was missing. And then I felt like as soon as I cut off that relationship, I just was like, well, let's fucking, I don't know, let's fuck it up. And I did. And that's what happens sometimes. You get yourself really fucking humbled. And then you grow. And you learn more how to approach other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I feel like, I mean, because we lived together, and so I saw that whole relationship. And I also saw you swerve and go off-roading and then come back around. So, right.
Slowly but surely.
But I think that, if anything, that it was really, I think it was healthy for me too, and even for Luke to see, probably more me because Luke's a little baby angel, but me, wild thing. It was good for me to see also another healthy relationship. But kind of like you said, it doesn't, or how I said earlier, you know, sometimes it's just calling it. It doesn't have to be this ugly thing. And I feel like for you too, it was.
Yeah. And it wasn't.
You stayed friends and stuff.
Yeah. And it was awesome. We just have a lot of love and respect for each other. And I think that is just always going to be there. Oh, and yeah. I know it's true though. I don't know. It was just. And I think he understands. We've talked about it. I mean, we hung out several times after we broke up. Like, we still stayed friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. You just, especially, like, going through a pandemic with someone, it's just, like, we lived together when, like, the whole world was shut down.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, we're all just, like, I don't together. Know. Yeah. So it's just, it didn't work out. He understands it. He kind of knew there was an age difference, and we've talked about it, and it's just, mm-hmm. I don't know. It wasn't forever, but it was such a good thing while it was around, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for it. And it's helped me, like, approach. Yeah, it was totally purposeful. And it's helped me approach other relationships. And, like, once you've been treated well, you recognize, like, kind of earlier on, I guess, ideally, yeah. Like, I do want to be treated this way, or I don't want to be treated this way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went from 180. I went from being treated really well to treated like shit. And then now we're back around a little.
We're back around
it's
a little.
It's great. Yeah. A lot of it, but sometimes you just got to go through it, dude.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. I feel like with my first real, I mean, there was the guy in California, and that was my first relationship, but I feel like my first real, real adult relationship was when I was about to go to grad school. And it was just wild, dude. He was a man.
Right. It's weird.
A man. Yeah. And that was just bizarre for me. And not that, so I hate saying that because, I mean, if you're not this way, you were still a man, you know. But I guess he was just very grown up, you know, from boys that I had dated before. He had...
From your good-for-nothing
couch potato? From my good-for-nothing couch potato. Yeah. He had a really good job. He had money. He had a house. He had land.
He had money.
He had a boat. I was like, what the fuck? So,
you're real grown up. How old were you?
He was very financially successful in that way. And he was just very quick, though. He wasn't trying to fuck around. He, you know, we'd only been dating for a very short amount of time when he asked me to be his girlfriend. And I was like, we haven't even been dating that long. And so, okay. So, just kind of fall right into it. But still, even then, in that relationship, it was just, I wasn't used to it. I also wasn't used to someone, you know, like, I don't even know how to explain it. We had so much fun all the time. You know, we would go on trips and we would take the boat out to the lake and we'd go four-wheeling and we'd cook and like we'd do all these things. But, you know, and we had a decent, you know, life in other ways. But it was just, there was something missing, you know, once again. But I fought it so hard and I made excuses for things that I would never excuse now. Never excuse now. Mm-hmm. And I think even at a point, you know, he probably cheated on me. And I don't have facts for that, but definitely circumstances that make it add up and part of the reason we broke up. But two, at the end of it, he didn't really like put up that much of a fight for me. It almost felt, oh, well, you don't want to do this anymore, then you're replaceable. And that was really hard for me. I was really sad because I think a part of me wanted it to work because I would be comfortable with him. Like I would live a comfortable life. But that's not enough either. You know, just like love isn't always enough, you know, stability without like financial stability is very different than emotional stability.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Yes, I could have moved in with this man and not had to work and lived like a good life, but emotionally there was nothing there.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a fucking hard decision to make because I mean, there's a lot of women out there, you know, that some, you know, I feel like there is people, not even just women, but like people that are like, you know, they look at that financial status and they're, I need that more than I need like the other part, you know?
Yeah.
But
some people on the totally other
on the opposite end of the side. Spectrum. And I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle, like, you know?
Totally.
I'm just like if I'm being honest, you know, but for him, it was just, I was driving. Oh my gosh, dude. I was in grad school and he worked like all around West Texas and even parts of Southern New Mexico. And I was driving. I would leave Las Cruces on Thursday after I got out of school. And then I wouldn't drive back until 4 a.m. on Monday morning so I could get to class by 11. Because it was a 6-hour drive. What? Why was I doing that? And yeah, he would pay for my gas, but the
6 hours
each way. So I was doing round trip 12 hours every weekend for months.
Holy, every single weekend?
Almost. Yeah, because he only came to see me once in Cruces. I know.
Holy shit.
He's That's like, crazy. Well, you have an apartment and I'm traveling a lot. So I was like, yeah, you're right.
But then that means you're traveling a lot.
Exactly. And, yeah, it just got exhausting, but it was my first real, like, he paid for everything. I, like, one time went to the bank to take, he was just, take my card and, like, you know, get money out of the ATM. And so I went, and he had tens of thousands of dollars in there. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I had 50 bucks.
You're like, yeah. I'm 23 and I have,
I have
beer money.
I know. You have $30,000 just in your checking? How? Where did you get this from?
I know who gave you this?
I know. You work your ass off, but shit. Where's this come from?
So do I.
Yeah. No. But it was, that was definitely a learning experience for me. And then after that, I had this, like, situationship for way too long with this Army guy. And that was the whole reason how I ended up in Nashville, which we talked about before.
Yes, but now you're here.
Now we're here.
And you're married.
And married. It's crazy, dude.
Man, time flies. Today, we were reminiscing a bit because expected. If you get me a little stoned and on Snapchat, I'm going to look at the memes. Mm-hmm. I'm a reminiscer. I like to keep the memories alive.
Yeah.
But this is our 5-year today. the day that we're recording is our 5-year.
March 16th.
Nashville anniversary. The first time Joey came through Nashville. You heard this story. On the long road trip. You know how it goes. But yeah, this was the first time.
Five years ago.
Holy fuck.
That's crazy. It's so crazy.
And there's been so much in between.
So much in between, dude. And even along with, okay, adult relationships, blah, blah, blah. But let's talk also about dating. Because there is some funny stories to be had with that. We talked a lot about dating in Nashville, which had a lot of my stories in it. But I think Harp has some really fucking funny dating stories.
Dude, well, it was awful. So I went from, okay, yeah. So I went from that relationship, the 2-year relationship, like, totally good, steady, stable. I go off the fucking deep end, right? I'm crazy.
Swerve.
And I am like, well, fuck it. I'm like, get drunk one night and I make a Hinge. I don't know.
Oh, you're good.
In a minute.
Tap a note.
Don't say that to the people. That's embarrassing. I'm gonna look like a baby. It's fine, everyone. It's fine. I just want to make sure that I can actually speak words.
You know, fair enough. Because sometimes I get a little excited.
Dude.
Oreos. No?
I love Oreos. That's such a good idea.
I know.
Just name your shit after Milk Saver cookie. And yeah. Mine too.
Did he for sure put crack in those cookies? There's no way. They're so addicting. Double stuff, perfection.
Double stuff to perfection. Perfection.
Really is, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so what were dating. We talking
about? See, this is why I couldn't, because I was already, like, going to go on some tangent.
Yeah, I took, like, a couple a second ago, so I'm like, me.
So I got out of the stable relationship.
And then you swerved.
I got drunk. Got a Hinge.
Went on a couple of funny dates.
God, it was so awful. It was so awful. And meanwhile, I'm in my own toxic situationship
while trying to date
with my
because you're trying to get out
with
of it.
My neighbor slash coworker.
Dude, fuck, she combined them. First coworker. Oh, I can live here. Okay.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. Well, you live and you learn. Toxic situationship, and so at this point, I'm like, I would rather date anybody else. Like, somebody, I'll go on shitty Hinge dates if it means I start liking someone more than I am on this stupid fucking toxic train. You know what I mean? That's kind of the state that I was in. So the first guy I go out with, I meet him in Nobles, and he's there with, and he's drinking, it looks like orange juice out of a pint glass. And I'm like, hi. And he's drinking some vodka, orange juice, something. And I order a beer and not shortly, we haven't really been there for that long. And he's talking about how he had a shitty date the night before. And then he asked me if I thought that I was more manly than him because I was drinking beer and he was drinking vodka. And I was like, I just like beer. I was like, I'm a girl, so I think I'd know. That didn't cross my mind, but are you insecure about something?
Yeah.
Like, the fuck? But then he proceeded to drink White Claws all night. And I was like, yeah, no, immediately no.
Red flag.
Red flag. Like, we went to Rosemary, and he was drinking White Claws. And I was like, and then he was bitching about not spending money on girls. And then by the end of the night, I found out that he lived with his mom.
Because didn't he try to, like,
because he was, like, trying here? To, yeah, he, like, kept asking to come over. He's like, let's go to your place. And I'm like, I'm trying to get the fuck out of here. Why don't you go to your place? He's like, well, I live with my mom. And then he had, like, gone to jail for dealing drugs and something like that. I was like, you're crazy. I think I want to leave now. So that was that. And then he would like text me and I was like, what made you think that that date?
You did make out with them though, didn't you?
I make out with anybody.
That doesn't mean you're special.
That doesn't mean you're special. Don't text me the next day. And that's the God honest truth.
I just like to smooch.
I just like to smooch. Well, yeah. And I went drinking. Not White Claw, by the way. So I was a little bit more on the tipsy side.
Red flag.
Red flag.
Don't you wish when you were going out on dates with guys, if they had a red flag, you could just see it like on their shirt so you can add up how many they did in one night. And so it's like after a certain point.
You're like, I'm going to call it.
And maybe intensity, you know? Like pink if it's not that, like it's still a red flag, but not that bad. Blood red. It's like a deal breaker.
It's like,
and you can just like on their shirt, but they can't see it, but it's just like a little hologram. Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop.
Maybe one day you'll make us rich off of your app.
Yeah. Oh fuck, that's a great idea. Don't steal it. Fuckers. Just kidding.
No, but seriously, don't steal it. We might make money one day. That's funny. I can see it.
Yeah. So then you can just be like. Okay,
but will we? Okay. But will we pay attention? Though, will we listen to the red flags?
That's why you got to do it like immediately. Oh, that's a red flag. Boop.
Yeah.
You just put it on there, so it's a reminder. It's a reminder.
You see it. And you can't wear rose-colored glasses.
No.
Those things will fuck you, man.
Dude, rose-colored glasses, yeah. See, remember last episode? Honey, love him! Because rose-colored glasses.
Because rose-colored glasses, you can't see the red mattress. Flags.
Halfway on the floor.
Yeah.
In the fucking barrio of Albuquerque. You can't. You gotta just, like, take them off. Like, oh, shit, I shouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, right? So, in the midst of... So, I'm definitely not that guy. Definitely not gonna date him. So, I desperately need to do a sober month. This is 2021, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, 2021. Desperately need to do a sober month. So, I go to coffee with this dude.
A different dude
from Hinge. Oh, my God. He just talked about his reptiles. He had so many reptile pets. And he was, like, really interested in them. And he, like... Don't get me wrong. I like them nerdy, right? You know, I like them nerdy.
There's a line.
But there's a line. And he straight up was asking me, first date, talking about Comic-Con, asking me if I wanted to be Mary Jane and go to Comic-Con. And I was like, what do you say to that? Just like, no, I don't know you. Like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go to Comic-Con ever. That's the line. I'm past it. I don't want to. And he had talked about how he dressed up as Spider-Man because Spider-Man was his favorite hero. Which is fine. But then again, he kept texting me. But the thing is, if it's not going anywhere, just like don't even try. Like, maybe I'm just a flirty gal, but I was like, what made you think that I wanted to go out with you again? Anyways. He thought that by sending me a picture of him in his Spider-Man costume, it would make me want to go out with him again.
Negative.
It did not. It did, in fact, not. It was so bad. I can't believe he did that.
Oh, my God.
And then I dated two Steves at the same time. Talk about me not being able to date two people at the same time. Two guys named Steve. That was something.
Steve and Steve.
Yeah, one of them was really hot, and one of them was hot and nerdy. Steve. Hot Daddy nerdy. Steve. Hot Nerdy Steve. But I was so sad. I built up the date with Hot Daddy Steve for like 3 months. We talked for like 3 months.
I know. It was a long time before you guys actually went out.
And then we went on a date.
And it sucked.
And it was awful. There was like nothing there. And I was like, all right. Well, cool. I don't know. Dating's weird, man.
It is weird.
And dating, I mean, that's a part of dating in Nashville too, is just.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I don't know. The grass is greener. And the other Steve was definitely like a Nashville boy. He was like, you want to go to Tin Roof with me and my friends? I'm like, fuck no, I don't. I don't want to go to Tin Roof with you and your friends. You're fucking 32 years old. Why the fuck are you still going to Tin Roof? Oh, like, with your friends who wear backwards hats and polo shirts and fucking butt shoes. You guys are crazy. Seriously.
Polo shirt.
God.
Oh my gosh, for real though.
Oh my God.
Dude, Midtown though was where it was at, but because even, oh my goodness, remember, I didn't tell this story in the dating in Nashville one.
Oh God.
But there was one time, because me and her, listen, we used to go to Spasmatics when they played at Doghouse. If you know, you know. It was great. It was so fun. But we would get, like, fucked up. And so
Sunday fun day, dude.
Sunday fun day. And so, it was rough. So we went, and I was very tipsy, trying to walk up the hill. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Up the hill. And of Demumbrian. And Mila, chill.
Yeah, you were definitely the drunk one that night.
Yes. And so we were leaving to go find your car, and there was, I was drunk, but there was this hot dude that was walking around, and for some reason, the only time I've ever done this that compelled me to say, oh, you're high, you wanna come home with me?
Yeah, you did.
We didn't even have a conversation before that. I literally just told him that, and he was like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And he went with us.
I literally.
Stranger danger.
I literally.
Don't recommend. Don't do that.
No, don't do that. This was a reckless shenanigans. We 10 out of 10 don't recommend. I literally looked in the rearview mirror at this dude and said, do you normally get in the car with strangers at 2 o'clock in the morning? And he was like, no. I was like, okay, well, we could kill you. You know that, right?
We're the enemy.
He didn't feel threatened by
and
any
I'm means. All drunk in the front seat, like, and we went to Mickey's. We kept drinking. Mm-hmm. We went to Mickey's, and dude, you're always like, always Mickey's.
Always Mickey's, dude. Mickey's has been there from the start. That's where I went with my first ever, like, fling in Nashville. Took me to Mickey's. I thought it was freaking cool, and now
it is cool.
I still go. Yeah. 7 years later, I'm still at Mickey's.
Right.
Oh my gosh, don't tell your friends. There's already bachelorette parties in there, and I get fucking pissed.
Oh my God.
Get out of my bar, dude.
Oh, but yeah, so we took this guy to Mickey's, and we're playing darts. We didn't stay there that long.
No, we didn't. We didn't stay there long enough for me to finish my drink, so I took it out with me.
Take it with me.
And now I still have that glass.
Aw, man.
I'm always going to have a part of Mickey's. Rightfully so, because I've spent a lot of money there.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, so me and this guy go back to our apartment and do the damn thing. You guys know. And so, so we do the damn thing. Homeboy, I guess, had a real good time, because then
it gets better.
After that, he just keeps texting me, right? It was a one-night stand, dude. Let it go. I called you off of the street. It's not like we hit it off in the bar. I was just being crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he keeps texting me, and he was, like, sending me pictures. So I was like, okay, well, like, he is hot. You know, I wasn't just in this drunken state. And so he asked me to go to Tin Roof in the day. There was nobody there. It was, like, a weekday. And I get there, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, maybe he wants to, like, hang out and I'll actually, like, get to know him, I guess, because we didn't really talk. Right. And so I get there. Dude, he's crazy. He just starts, like, talking all this nonsense and stuff about that night and being very, like, vulgar. I mean, fair, I get, like, we, you know, but I was like, this is a lot. And so I was trying to leave, and then he lived across the street when that used to be Element, and he said,
always
do you want to come back with me to my apartment? Let's go back to my apartment. And I pulled the roommate card. My roommate really needs me. I gotta go. Like, I gotta go pick her up. And he got mad.
Crazy.
Like, really mad. And I was like, okay, see ya. And so I got in the car and left, and I was just praying to God that he didn't know where I lived. Still, or didn't remember.
Yeah.
And but that's not where I needed to be worried about him, because then a couple months later I start a few months later I start dating Luke. Well, then all of a sudden, and we would see this guy
fucking everywhere.
Everywhere, dude, everywhere in Demumbrian. If we went to Losers, if we went to Doghouse. I mean, he lived across the street, so fuck. I fucked
but
myself.
If we went anywhere, he was always there.
He was always there. And then I worked in Midtown at the time, remember? And so there was one day I was dating Luke already, and he just starts showing up at where I worked. And I had told him where I worked whenever we met up that day, but he hadn't come, and then all of a sudden he saw me there. Homeboy came every day for lunch and wouldn't talk to me. He would just sit at the bar by himself, and I was getting so sketched out. I was so stressed, dude.
Yeah, that was wild.
He did. And then even when I wasn't working, they said that he would go in there and he would, like, walk around and look for me. And it was so creepy, dude.
And then you just peace the fuck out. Bye.
I know, dude. It was so crazy. And I was stressed. Oh, so, moral of the story, don't catcall men on the street. They sometimes will try to come home with you and then stalk you at your job. Moral of the story. Luckily, he ended up eventually leaving me alone. But, oh my gosh, it was just crazy.
But dude, I have that video from your birthday. So, like, fast forward, like, a while. You've been dating Luke for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Doghouse for, it was one of the last, like, spasmatic times we went, I'm pretty sure. It was for your birthday, so it was December. And I have a video of the spasmatics, like, from your birthday of the stage. And guess who's fucking walking right towards the camera? Your stalker, dude. And I was just like, no
fucking way.
Like, I didn't even recognize him. Like, I saw him on my camera, and I looked down, and I was just like,
almost like a year later after that night. And then,
crazy.
Remember when your mom and your friend came to visit, and we were at Losers, and I think it was, Whiskey Jam.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. But we were there, and there was a band playing, and your mom and your friend were here, and your mom and your friend were like, oh my gosh, that guy's so cute. He looks like a lumberjack dude or whatever. And I was like, oh, really? Where? And they pointed, and it was fucking him.
No way.
Yes! You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, yes! And I was like, oh my gosh. And I think I ended up telling your mom what happened.
And my mom was probably just like, okay. My mom's so cool. She's so understanding. She's
telling my sins.
I know. My mom's so non-judgmental. It's great. I love talking to her.
Yeah. We had some crazy times dating up until this point. And now we're both in relationships. I'm married.
I'm in a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a real one. It's weird.
For real, for real.
Yeah. It's nice. It's good. And it's just, yeah, man. It's just taking all the stuff that you've learned up until now. And trying to do it better. And understand
the bad.
The good, the bad, the really, really ugly.
Very.
I don't know. And, like, I've already, like, there's just stuff that comes up in new relationships, you know,
mm-hmm.
that are from old relationships. And you kind of have to just take that for what it is and try and work on it. And I know in the next episode we'll do a little update about where we're at now.
Dating now.
Dating now.
Late 20s, 30, married. What's that look like? We talked about. What are you saying?
I don't know. Thanks, Oreos. We love you. Oreos. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Should do.
Well, we'll catch you on the next one. We'll give you a little update. Thanks for hanging on with our shenanigans. And hopefully some of this stuff makes sense, because I feel like all people, like we've always said, like, people are experiencing different things, but the same things all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? So we all out here trying.
Out here trying. So we'll see you in the next one.